So I don't want to stand here and suggest that our family has suffered much. What we have lost is a loss of stuff and creature comforts that are all first world issues. There are others that have lost loved ones and such, and that is a level of suffering much more deep and more visceral than anything that we've got going on. And then there's Jesus, who was made perfect by what he suffered. The NIV reads a little bit differently, Tucker. He was made perfect by what he suffered. I believe we can take that to mean that he was made complete. His mission, his role as Savior, necessitated that he be receive the punishment that was due us. John Piper has said, the wisdom of God devised a way for the love of God to deliver sinners from the wrath of God while not compromising the righteousness of God. So God becomes man. And he shows us how to live, shows us how to love. So one of the first things from this week that came upon us on that day was the immediacy and the urgency of prayer. There was nothing to do but pray. Like Jehoshaphat, we don't, Lord, know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I imagine I said, Father, 1,000 times that day. Call upon him, thank him, praise him, shout out to him, give me wisdom, help me think. What do we do? What do we do? Lord, thank you for preserving our lives. The verse that just was resounding, the Lord gave. And the Lord is taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised just over and over and over and over. It wasn't hard to see God's hand in the big stuff, saving Rachel's life, feet away from that mudslide, saving Sue's life, my life, by not being in the gym on a Friday morning. What are the chances of that? Had we been, we would have been in glory. But God's hand was so prevalent and so obvious, not only in the big stuff, but in the small stuff as well. He cares about the details of our lives. He's present in the details. The boots I wear right now, I lost all my shoes, no big deal. And if there's one pair of shoes that I would have needed for this past week, it was this pair of boots that just never wear. There was my mom, who was an absolute saint. She's been with the Lord since 2000. She had MS for the last 43 years of her life. She couldn't do a lot. She was a Cleveland Indians fan. And she had this cutout of Chief Wahoo, right? And as I look across on a Saturday morning, I look across this, you know, just the Israel, Rachel's car sitting on top of the roof and all the devastation and everything like that. And this whitewashed wall over there and what had been the inside wall of the gym. There was a mirror up on the wall. And on that mirror instead up there was stuck, you know, this cutout of Chief Wahoo. And I just thought, praise God. So small things, you know, God is transcendent and he is imminent. He is above all things and he is with us. I think my sister refers to those things as God winks. I don't know if that's scriptural. I've never seen it, but it's evidence. God is speaking to us these little things, man. I am with you. More on prayer, but not mine. This is Jesus. He was a man of prayer. He was our suffering servant. I ask you, if Jesus was so reliant upon prayer, how can we be anything less? If the Son of God needed to be plugged into the Father at all times, how can we get by without him? He started his ministry with 40 days of fasting and preaching, and prayer. He withdraws to solitary places, mountainsides, all night. He needed to be connected to his Father. He suffered, but he did not suffer alone. When the floodwaters came, we were never alone. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Not only that, but let me tell you, as I've been saying often recently, the body of Christ is a beautiful thing. How can I say we've suffered when we've seen and received this love of Christ in the hands and the feet, the smiles, the meals, the saws, the shovels, the generators, the water, so many things. That's love. That's the body. That's the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our trouble so that we in turn can comfort others with the same comfort that we've received from God. That's love. Love God, love others. Back to the text in Hebrews 2. Christ was made perfect, right? He was perfect. We know that. So I'll say he was made complete by what he suffered. But I got to jump ahead 10 chapters to Hebrews 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And do you know what that joy was? Every single one of you, please, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You are that joy. You are that joy. It's for you that he died. He went through. He suffered for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. He wants us to be with him. You are that joy. There is no other God. Things that have been impressed upon me. We live in the presence, but our hearts ache for that country not yet our own. Jesus said, let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. And his power is made perfect in our weakness. Another thing, the immediacy, the urgency, and the necessity of prayer. Now is the time. I found myself praying with whatever. The drive-thru at the bank the other day. Todd, man, how you doing? Good. We did all right. Good. On and on, some conversation. Todd, let's pray. Through that glass window there, that teller window, we're going to pray. We pray. Beautiful woman, never met before, by the name of Jess, comes up with a friend of hers last Wednesday. Sue, my rock over here, has just been awesome. Love that lady. And but it was a little bit down on Wednesday. So, but the day kept getting better. And Wednesday evening, early evening, as Sue said, man, she was exhausted. She didn't have any, strengths. And she had a little bit of yogurt or something like that. We're seated out in our front yard, and up comes this white Tacoma pickup truck, and about two ladies say, hey, somebody told us to come up here. Said you need some, said needed a hot meal. You want this hot meal. I cooked it. I just walked down to that woman. I just bawling, cried, hugged her. What a blessing. And we're talking, and it became evident that they had seen this video that Rachel had taken, and So I said, come on. So we walk up behind the house, and they see the, you know, the car on the roof and all this whatever stuff. And she just starts crying. And so start talking more, and this woman, Moondance Catering, unabashedly, please, if you ever need catering. Name's Jess, and it's Jess, tell me about you. What's your story? And her husband, 54, just had a massive stroke, 3 weeks in the hospital, and is currently in heart failure. And I say, hey, I'm a heart patient too. And so we pray the immediacy, the urgency, the necessity of prayer. We pray. I didn't ask. We just pray. I look up, and man, those two women were just bawling, even worse than me. But the immediacy, urgency, necessity of prayer. Another thing, the ever-present love of God, to look for him in all things. As I've mentioned already, you know, God is transcendent. He is the Lord of lords and the God of gods, and he is above everything, all power and dominion. And yet, he sets his love upon us, and he cares for the widow, the orphan, the alien, the poor, the oppressed. That is with whom his heart strives, and he strives with us as well. And the small things, God is deeply personal with us, and I'm so thankful for that. Another thing, the beauty, as I've already mentioned, of the body of Christ, the beauty of Andrew and Grace. God bless you for coming over with their daughters and Lucy and Carolyn and others, and they're just there picking up rocks and moving stuff and clearing out a culvert. And just we have been so beset by the body of Christ. Have received Ian, Austin, RUF guys coming over and ripping out whatever the carp and all that stuff, and no small job. Thank you so much. The body of Christ has been fantastic, and with it and by it, through it, we reflect the glory of God. And praise and thanksgiving will result in that. Fifthly, at one point, it might have been Thursday, I don't know. And Sue, my precious, she reminds me, I mean, she says something, we got to go do something for somebody else. And I heard that, and I was like, oh man, praise God. You know, it was a key that was missing. And here I was just like, yes. So that day we go and we labor at somebody else's home. And it was just cathartic. It was wonderful. To be outward looking, others focused, is so very good. The example of Christ is the same thing. The pattern that he set, he sees, and then his heart goes out in compassion, and then he enters into the fray. That is over and over his pattern in scripture and in life, and ours should be as well. Sixthly, and finally, to remember our destiny. I've already mentioned Hebrews 12, Christ looking forward, the joy that was set before him. Tucker, the best Bible is the one-year Bible, NIV 1984, just saying. And God in his grace brought me through the readings. The readings were from September 27. It was covering latter chapters of the book of Isaiah, which I could not have been more thankful for. So I'm going to finish out this, and I'm just going to read some of these passages as I've been reading this week from, largely from Isaiah. This is awesome stuff. I got mad at God this week, and I was mad because I did not have every single one of these words in my heart. I wish I could memorize them all. The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting crown. Joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. So much good stuff. Referencing Hebrews 2, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of the soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. You are the joy that was set before him. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, all you who have no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Got to mention this one because this is Psalm 71. My mentor, Dr. Folks, 96 years, a saint. My mouth, this is his favorite psalm. My mouth will tell, from Psalm 71, my mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation. That's the vision right there. And from Paul earlier in Philippians, forgive me, I'm only on September 29th. We've got a week or so to go. I'm just teasing. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to be with Christ, for that is far better, but it's more necessary for me that I remain in the body. Paul knew what it was like. I oftentimes am talking about vision. We need vision. We need vision. Christ had that vision. Paul had vision. 2 Corinthians 12. I'll tell about a man who 14 years ago was called up to heaven, whether in the body or out of the body. I don't know. God knows. But that this man, whether in the body or that out of the body, heard inexpressible things. Things a man is not permitted to tell. Paul had seen glory. He had seen God's prayers. And he was enabled by that and the Spirit, obviously, to serve out, to pour out his life. We need vision. How do we get vision? How's your quiet time? How's your quiet time? How's your prayer life? All right, I'm feeling like I should be quiet now, but I'm going to go one or two more with your permission, please. All right, Sue really liked this one, so I'm going to go to 65. Isaiah 65. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more. A little further down, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, says the Lord. All right. Hey, thank you for allowing me to be up here. Love y'all.